From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Hitta Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Did you know that your detectors need to be replaced every 5 to 10 years? Hitta detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of Hitta safety products.
Save big money at
Protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FBP RV and Marine antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FBP ready-to-use RV and Marine antifreeze now at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products.
Save big money at Menards.
Can we talk some more about P. Diddy and skincare?
It's all that I care about. Those are the two things I care about. I don't give a shit about anything unless you're talking to me about P. Diddy or skincare. Listen, a couple months ago, you came at me talking about kangaroos.
I talked to you about kangaroos. I think you brought the kangaroos up.
Yes, it was my hyper fix. You know what? Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
All right, listen, last night some things happened and we weren't able to record, but then we realized that we could really just cover all of the weddings in one episode because it's so much blase blah.
It's more blase blah than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
My fast forward button was exhausted. It was like, stop.
There's a hen do and a stag do. Literally nothing happens. Who cares? There's a gorgeous burlesque dancer. The only really weird thing that happened was that Jasmine called Booby in the middle of it and was like, what's up?
Well, I don't think we should fast forward because Bennett Majority Leader Chuck Schumer explained to us what a stag do is. And you know what a stag do is? It's a bachelor party. And they're both stupid. If there's not a tiger in a bathtub at the end of your bachelor party, what is the fucking point? Oh, but you know what I do want to talk about before we blase blah through it?
What?
They got on one of those bikes.
Oh,
you know,
please.
They have them in Nashville. What is that thing called?
It's a booze bike.
Booze bike, right. Because exactly what you want is drunk people on a fucking multi-person bike. It sounds like a blast and a sprained ankle all at the same time.
But what you want to do while you're just trying to get drunk is like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Somebody orders a drink that has a flambéed avocado on top of it. No, thanks.
No, thanks. And the girls go to a burlesque show. I love a burlesque show.
That woman was so gorgeous. I couldn't stand it.
I'm a big fan of burlesque shows. Get it?
Because
they cover their Grand Tetons with a fan. Whatever. I do want to talk about this part. Then we can blase blah to the weddings. Tom and Freddie have a little chat.
They sure do.
And Tom says he's scared and they're both having their doots.
How are you anyway? You good? How are you, Muriel?
Yeah, mate. Oh, we're like the best that we've ever been.
Yeah.
It kind of scares me a little bit. When we were on the beer bus earlier, it was amazing. But everyone's speaking like in such positive terms about their other halves. And that's exactly how I feel about Maria. But there's part of me which is like, bro, like, are you guys all being realistic about this?
And I'm the same as you, mate. I'm exactly the same as you.
Yeah.
I want to get married to her. I do. I'm being genuine. I'm telling you the truth. I want to. You want to be confident with that decision, don't you? Make sure you're not messing up.
Yeah. But then the other part of me is like, well, I've trusted every single part of this experiment so far, and it's really all worked out for me, Freddie. Like, part of me is like, should I just take that leap of faith, that final one, and marry her?
And oh, that's how I feel.
You know? It's so hard.
This is where I'm pretty sure that Tom is going to say no. Like, they're so fundamentally different.
Mm-hmm.
And then Catherine is a fucking psychopath.
My parents loved him. I love him so much.
Yeah, so they have a thing, whatever. Tom gives a generic toast, and Jasmine called Bobby.
Jasmine calls Booby in the middle of the whole thing, which is inappropriate.
So weird.
It felt very much like pissing on her territory. Like, she's like, oh, there's so many male strippers here.
There were no strippers. It was a burlesque show.
Right.
Anyway, it's 3 days to the wedding. Everyone is packing.
I said, thank God that's over.
It was just, it's so blah, blah, blah. Nicole says to Bendel Jenner that... She loved living with him, and they're not going to see each other till the altar.
Yeah, there's like a few days that they're not going to be together. In the American version, it's just, I think, one night.
Yeah, they're going to spend a couple days apart, and everyone is like moving out, and they're not going to see each other, and they're hugging goodbye.
And they're nervous, and they're excited, and it's bittersweet.
Kath is at home filming herself on her cell phone, and it's her first night away from Freddie, and she misses him. You do?
You do? You could have behaved differently while he was there.
I didn't think you would miss him at all. Quite frankly, I would feel like you were really happy he was gone.
And he leaves her like a toe tag that you put on a body. Oh my God, I just realized he's a funeral director. And the note that he wrote her on is on a fucking
toe
tag.
You're so right. Oh my God, you're so right.
I was like, why do you a toe tag? He's like, this is all the paper I have.
I put them on people's toes in the morgue.
It says, with you always, Freda.
Yeah, okay.
I wrote, whatever, fuck her.
It's the day of the weddings, y'all.
Yeah.
And first up is Sabrina and Steven. And Steven feels lucky.
I'm so lucky. She makes my life brighter.
And don't forget, during all of these wedding sequences, we're going to get a love montage. Blah, blah.
It's a lot of blah, blah.
There's so many blase, blah. Blase, blah worries. Blase, blah connection.
She tells her family she's excited, but she knows there's so much they haven't experienced yet, but they are each other's person. Blase, blah.
Blase, blah. I've never known love like this. Blase, blah. I'll tell you what I'm not going to blase, blah over.
Love like this before.
What? I'm not going to blase, blah Steven in that white fucking jacket.
Okay. Can we talk about his bow tie for a minute?
If you're going to be rude to him, then no, because his blue eyes are doing something to my basement parts.
This was his bow tie, but black. Sir, somebody get wardrobe in here. This is, come on. I was waiting for it to spin and go and like shoot water out of it.
I thought he looked so cute. I feel like we've been paying so much attention to Freda that I forgot what a fucking piece Steven is.
Yeah.
I love a man in a good suit. A good suit.
Yes.
Not a suit that looks like you borrowed it from your uncle on the day of your bar mitzvah. No, like a good fucking suit.
Yeah.
Oh, really hot.
Sabrina looks gorgeous. I mean, she comes out and it's like
breathtaking.
Yeah.
Jaw-dropping. Beautiful.
And her mom is literally speechless. Like, she just cannot get words out.
Whoever did her makeup, that's some of the best makeup I've ever seen on the show. She looks incredible. Steven says he's not worried. And they both seem really ready. And Sabrina's brother is going to walk her down the aisle. Very sweet. This is such a fucking trope. He just loses it when he sees her walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
It's such a trope.
Yeah. He says,
you look stunning.
Yeah. Blase blah, true love. Blase blah. We're so lucky. Blase blah. But let's play the vows.
Sabrina, I stand here a lucky man who is grateful for our journey and is excited for what's to come. I promise to always make you my number one. To be the hug before you realise you need it. Knew this would happen. I vow to uphold our daily check-ins so I can lift you up when you are low. I promise nothing less than a life full of crazy good chapters as we grow old hand in hand. You stole my mind and my heart, and now I give you my unconditional love. Sabrina, I appreciate you. I'm thankful for us. I love you.
And then it's Sabrina's turn.
Ooh, Steven. I promise to love you every day and have the patience that love requires on the more challenging days. I promise to share laughter in the good times and be your unwavering support in the difficult moments. I will dream with you, celebrate with you, and encourage you to be the best version of yourself. And with your help and support, I will strive to be the best version of me for you. I will forever appreciate you and the love and the joy that you bring into my life. There's so much we don't know, and our journey has just begun. But in your arms, I have found a home. And I want you to know that I choose you today and every day for the rest of our lives. I love you.
I thought those were really non-generic.
Yeah, I thought they were lovely. I mean, you know, they appreciate each other. Like, appreciation is their big thing. It's their word. And so they definitely appreciate each other. And they love each other unconditionally.
Yeah. I mean, listen, where are they going to live? No fucking clue. Are they going to have kids? Maybe. How many pairs of Speedos does Steven actually have? Never got a straight answer. But we all knew they would get married. And they say I do.
They did this wedding first because it was obvious.
Quite frankly, for the show, they're very boring. But they're lovely.
Yeah, they're like what's-her-face and what's-his-face, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Barry in the chat says, Ashton didn't cry when I walked down the aisle, remember? No, we don't, Barry.
No, we don't. Because
you didn't fucking invite us.
So how could we remember that?
I don't understand why Barry wanted to bring down the fucking room. I am a fantastic wedding guest, by the way.
Yeah.
For anyone out there who wants to invite me to a wedding that's in the tri-state area, I'm a fucking blast.
Yeah.
I don't think you would be.
No.
Know your gifts, people.
Not me. I will listen to you when, you know, your relationship's falling apart, but don't invite me to the wedding.
I mean, Daisy did listen to me cry for 12 minutes last night and was very understanding, but you're not coming to my next wedding.
Phew. I did it.
LOL that you'd think I would get married again. Sabrina and Steven are Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. So now it's Tom and Maria's turn. She's very excited. She says her marriage means commitment. Yes, that's the definition of marriage. Loving them unconditionally, and I am going to sue whoever decided to start spreading that fucking lie. Tom is her person. Tom is nervous. She's kind and supportive. She loves him unconditionally.
Are you really gonna say all of these words?
No, no. I just thought it was weird that at no point in any of this does he say that he loves her. And I was like, oh,
good point.
I think I see where this is going. So blah, say blah, they have challenges to whatever.
And Tom's parents are still not coming.
No.
And this is where I was pretty sure, because I have been pretty sure that they were going to say no, but they don't show any wide shots of the audience, like of the crowd.
Oh.
I just imagine Tom being like, yeah, getting married, don't bother coming.
Don't
it's
come.
Not going to be.
Yeah.
They did not show the audience. They did not show her walking down the aisle in that way.
Yeah, they show like her sister and her mom and her brother, but nobody on his side.
Also, I think one of the guys was one of the guys from the pods. I'm not kidding.
God.
That guy,
really?
Connor?
So his friends do show up and he still hasn't talked to his mom and she doesn't want to be a part of the experiment. And they ask him how he feels about becoming a husband. And he says this process has taught him that he wants to get married, but they're not 100% and he'll know when she comes down the aisle. He's going to say no. Tom's sister is there, so at least there's that.
Maria's mom goes to talk to Tom. This is such a precious and adorable conversation.
She's so sweet.
She said, I love you. I respect you. You're going to be my child. This is one of the most precious conversations I've ever seen. Like, genuinely.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I have chills. Look at my arm.
Oh, she says, put your hand on your heart.
I have this quote because it's really sweet hearing her voice and not your stupid voice that everybody hears all the time.
Horrible.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I listened back to a podcast of myself once and it was like, nah, nah, nah. I was like, people pay for this?
I know. I sound like this when I hear myself talk.
What's wrong with you guys? Maria's mom says this.
All I ask for you to look after Maria and respect her.
Yeah.
That's all I ask for you.
I promise you.
That's all.
I'll do you proud.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Maria looks fucking gorgeous. She looks stunning. Her brother Hisham and Mama Fatima come in. She talks about wearing the watch that her dad gave her. It's one of the last things he ever gave her.
Why isn't she wearing a necklace? She has this beautiful sweetheart bodice and no necklace or no chandelier. It's a miss for me, but she looks stunning.
She also isn't wearing a veil at all.
Yeah.
Tom says he's built a life he's proud of and he's missing a partner. He says Maria would be an amazing match for him and he absolutely has no doubt about that. And that's where I wrote, I don't think he's going to say yes.
Mm-hmm. I literally wrote... Marriage is a blending of stories. Fast forward. Blah, say, blah. No one cares. We've all been to a wedding. He's going to say no. That's literally what I wrote in my notes. The officiant is like, let's share a story about why you fell in love. Why are we sharing stories?
We don't need to do that. We've seen it. It's fine. Did you see that Elle was there, though?
Woods?
Yeah, Elle Woods was there. And also Elle, the gorgeous supermodel from the pods, was there.
Oh, she's like, mister, you're fired. Guess who I hired? So Tom says this.
Maria, I'm so honored to have been able to share this whole experience with you. You've been my rock. You've shown me how to treat people equally with respect. You've supported me when I've needed that. And like, you've shown me your love unconditionally. And it really helps that you're so beautiful. both inside and out.
And then Maria shares her story.
Tom, I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for helping me to become a better person. Thank you for showing me a different version of strength. Thank you for being understanding, kind, patient and bearing with me even when I was being bloody difficult. You're someone I can lean on, someone I can go to when I need support. Someone who lets me be 100% me without judgment. I really wish you could see yourself how myself and so many others view you. You're an honest man and you consistently inspire me. I love you.
Do you think Tom thinks love is blind, Daisy Marie?
No.
Well, let's hear what he has to say.
I love you. I just feel like right now is not the right time for me. We've had some differences in values, and I haven't had enough time to really understand how those differences will affect our life day to day.
Every time they start the vows with I love you, I'm like, okay, he's gonna say no. Her face falls as soon as he says I love you. She's like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. And then we get a shot of his buddy and Mama Fatima, and they're both kind of like, uh-oh. And then when he says no, Mama Fatima, her jaw is on the floor. She mm-hmm. cannot believe what she just watched.
Yeah. And then he books it.
Yeah.
He runs. No hug, no I'm sorry,
yeah.
No nipple tweak, nothing.
He does tell her she looks so beautiful, and then he fucking Speedy Gonzalez's his way down the aisle.
I was like, do you have a train to catch? Why are you running? He runs. I have never seen anyone run so fast since Zainab. And that cunt, whoa, wait till that season.
Oh boy. So Maria tells us she can't believe it. She wants to get married. She wants to be a wife. And she's incredibly sad. This wasn't the ending that she pictured. And Tom is taking a contemplative walk by some mucky, murky pond. And he said it was really hard to say no to her at the altar. Blah, blah, blah. He loves and respects her. Jerk off.
I have a take. That might not be a hot one. It's just a take.
Okay.
I think everything changed with Tom when he saw Tasha at the bar.
Ew. I just met a girl named Maria and suddenly, I don't know the rest of the words.
Suddenly I found how beautiful a sound can be. I could cry every time I hear that song. Maria, Maria, Maria.
Rosemary.
I love it. I saw his face. I saw him see Tasha. I saw his face light up. You know when you see someone that is talking to or about the person that they are obsessed with and their face changes?
Yeah, I've seen you talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Totally different face. I also feel, and I just thought of this right before we started recording, I kept thinking, how could he look at Maria's mom and promise her that? He's in PR.
Ooh, you're right.
He can't be honest to people's faces. He is used to twisting it. I don't ever think he had an intention of being with Maria from the time he saw Tosh. And for him to tell Maria's mom he'd love and respect her, I think he's so used to telling people what they want to hear because he's in fucking PR.
He would do really well in Los Angeles. He would fit right in.
Yeah.
Maria says she's hurt and she says there will always be a sadness in her. Girl, in a year, you're going to be like, Tom, who? I promise you.
I just think he was so slimy. Like,
yeah.
Not that he said no. I support the no.
Sure.
I support you weren't ready. I support all your reasons because you're not contributing to the divorce statistic. But to look at her mom.
I know.
I'm not over it. I literally noted this yesterday and I was just thinking, and the PR thing just came to me. That's his fucking life.
You're totally
spinning
right.
Spinning shit
so
is
gross.
His life.
Ugh, that's so gnarly. I don't like it. So now we're with Dolly. Demi says she's been waiting for this day a very long time. She loves him, but marriage is a massive deal. Biggest decision, blah, blah, blah. True love only comes around once. Not true. He says it's supposed to be once in a lifetime moment. Who cares? Demi's his perfect match, blah, blah, blah.
Blase, blah. Demi's not feeling great, Daisy.
Yeah.
Because she says since they left each other at the apartment, they haven't really spoken much. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we were in each other's back pockets together all day, every day, and they haven't talked much. Again, something that came to me today, because don't worry, it's pretty much just Love is Blind and Diddy up mm-hmm. here. Object permanence.
I was just about to say, that hit me just now too. He's got ADHD. He probably is just not thinking about it.
Yeah. So object permanence isn't an official or like a, you know, if you looked up ADHD, it's not like an official diagnosis of ADHD, but it's basically like if something's not right in front of you, yeah. you forget that shit exists. Mm-hmm. And that also contributes to the inability to form secure attachments.
In fairness to him, it could also be like in his mind, they're so secure and he's unable to put himself in her shoes. Men yeah. are sometimes not good at that.
Like, I don't think he was being an asshole.
No.
Irregardless. That is making her feel anxious. And she's not quite sure if her head and her heart are aligned.
Yeah.
So we're with Ollie, and in walks Aaron.
I'm starting to wonder if they were friends before the show. Does Ollie have anybody in his life from before the show?
Well, okay. So my thought exactly, maybe they knew each other because the way that they're getting ready, they're having a very dear conversation.
Yes.
It's a very sweet and emotional pep talk.
Yeah.
Maybe they did know each other before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Aaron's like, I see you overthinking
yes.
things. It's like, bro, you met 6.5 days ago.
Yeah. I feel like there are times when overthinking is bad. I feel like this situation is not a bad time to overthink. Deciding to get married to somebody that you met 4 weeks ago, like, you should think a lot about that.
I don't overthink so much as I just carefully go over in my mind
yeah.
every way,
yeah, yeah.
every possible way yeah. a mm-hmm. scenario could go wrong.
Yeah, that's normal.
That's what I do.
I like to think about how it did go wrong, and then I like to unravel that and
that's
think about...
That's not overthinking.
Yeah, I like to think about, like, what I should have said, and then what they would have said, and then what I would have said, and then,
yeah.
like, a different thing I could have said, and what if my face looked, like, a little bit different when we have it... But that's just thinking.
No, that's just thinking. Like, if you're like, I have this scenario, and then I'm gonna make up 12 to 15
yeah.
scenarios...
Yeah, that's just thinking.
Thank you. Like, okay. It's something I've noticed that you all overthink. It's
yeah,
just something
yeah.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
But I also love Aaron telling a neurodivergent person not to overthink. It's like, hey, fisherman, how about you don't fish today?
And guess what? Now the overthinker's going to overthink about that. But I will say that Aaron's a bro, and I like him. And I wrote, whatever the male version of a down bitch is, I think that's what Aaron is. He's a down bro.
Look at you.
Thank you.
Down bro.
If you ever need a new co-host for ITN, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm gonna... Anyway. I'm very confused by the relationship. However, again, people with ADHD do have a hard time
yeah.
sometimes in relationship situations. Really good at being a new friend.
Yeah.
I've known you for, what, a month and a half or something, I feel like. So Papa Norman comes in, Ollie's dad, and Ollie hands him a flask. And he's like, what is it? And he's like, oh, just drink it. The way I would never.
No. It's not roofied. Just drink it. Yeah, this is the first time we're seeing Ollie's dad, who looks remarkably like Demi's dad. At some point, I was like, wait, which dad are we looking? They look very much alike.
And they're both wearing pink ties.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're both married to white ladies.
Look at that. Ollie's dad says that he's proud of him. And then Ollie says, you know, that meant a lot. My dad doesn't say those things much.
Yeah.
He didn't say it in a poor me
kind of
way. It was very matter of fact.
Yeah.
Again, that sort of toxic masculinity. I don't tell my kids I love them.
Right.
I don't know.
Do you know what color Ollie's suit is?
I would probably call that beige.
I would call it grage.
Oh, okay. Grage.
Also, I just wanted to point out that Norman, I don't think, has seen Ollie in a long time because he goes, bloody hell, you've put some muscle on.
Very cute.
Demi says she wasn't ready to be a wife when all of this started because how can you expect someone to love you when you don't love yourself? But now she loves herself and she sees herself as being a wife. And this is where I started to go, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
She looks fucking gorgeous. She looks incredible.
Demi looks insane.
Yeah.
Demi looks so good.
Yeah.
She tells her parents, by the way, her mom is wearing a hat. That is going to come in to play later.
That's a fascinator.
A fascinator.
A fascinator.
Well,
don't don't call it a hat because the English people will cancel you.
I'm fine with being canceled by the English. I have so many issues with them. So fucking bring it.
I cancel you first, England.
And she says marriage isn't easy, which it is not.
Understatement of the year, my friend.
Yeah.
Demi wants what her parents have. Demi says, I love him, but is he my husband?
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, yeah. Also, hair, makeup,
yeah.
Dress, veil, 10 out of 10 yeah. for Demi.
Yeah.
She looks absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. And the doors open and Ollie, I mean, his whole face lights up. There's a twinkle in his eye.
Oh my God.
He is having the loveliest reaction so far.
Yeah. He is so precious.
Yeah.
And then marriage is a commitment, blase, blah. Do it in the butt once a year, blase, right. blah.
On his birthday.
Love is a foundation, blase, yeah. blah. And in the episode, they leave us on a cliffhanger, but we're not going to leave you on a cliffhanger. No, we're not.
Because we love you and we care about you.
We love you as much as Aaron loves Ollie. Wait, something else that they said that I just remember. Ollie was saying how Aaron was noticing that he was anxious. And he's like, I mean, he knows me better than anyone. I was like, better than who?
Yeah.
The camera guy? Yeah. Like, they had to have known each other before.
Yeah.
They had to have. I'm convinced.
Yeah. Come on.
He's like, I'm going on this show, Love is Blind. I want you to come with me.
So she goes first, and yes, they leave it on a cliffhanger. So mean. So now we're going to jump right back into episode 11. It's called We're Not Ready.
And we start exactly where we left off, and let's hear what Demi has to say.
I love you. But I do not.
And Ollie is gagged, as am I. His jaw is, he's looking around. He's like, is this real life?
The only person who's more shooketh than Ollie is Aaron. Aaron goes,
yeah. And then he goes, why? He's literally like, what is happening right now?
He's like a little kid who they were like, I'm sorry, we're not going to Disney World.
Huh?
Why?
Yeah.
And then she goes on to explain herself.
Because I've learned to love myself in a whole different light. During this journey, and actually that's testament to you, Ollie. And I know you do love me, and I know you care about me, and I know you appreciate me, but I know what I want from a husband, and I don't think we're quite there, obviously. But it's not, I do not, I'm gonna walk away from you forever, it's like I do not, for now. Because honestly, the time we've spent, I feel like you've seen me. And I love you for that. I love you.
She says, we're not quite there, obviously. Girl, it's not obvious to him at all.
At all, because he was shocked. And then, you know what they do, Daisy?
They hug.
They hug. Take a fucking cue from these two, you fucking numpty. Tom.
Numpty? Is that a word?
It's a British word. My ex-husband numpty. Used to call me a fucking numpty.
Fuck that guy.
It's like a stupid person.
I hate that guy.
And Demi leaves. She doesn't run. She doesn't cry. She walks out proud and beautiful. She starts crying when she leaves.
Yeah, she starts crying when she's out.
Her walk was very confident.
Yes.
And Ollie.
Yeah. Ollie's a fucking champ.
Ollie watched her the whole way.
Yeah.
With so much love in his eyes. It was such a beautiful and respectful moment.
Yeah.
And I believed it. I hope they continue to date. I really do.
I do too. And then back at the altar, he says he hopes that he can speak for both of them, that they're grateful everyone is there. He's like, the journey's not over. There's just been a slight diversion. And then he tells us it's not the desired outcome, but everything up until then has been incredible. And it's not a race. They're just going at their own pace.
Beautiful. So beautiful. I love that he spoke to the crowd.
Yeah.
Didn't go out like a fucking coward like Tom. And you know what I love about Ollie is he acknowledged how this is a weird situation.
Yes.
And it's okay. And, you know, Aaron, his new bestie, comes and he's just like, how are you feeling? Because I feel like you feel sad, but happy. Mm-hmm. And he says another really prolific thing. He says, the chapter is closed, but the story isn't over. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
And here's a man, a man who clearly has some issues with his own pride because he didn't tell anybody about his ADHD his whole life. Mm-hmm. He gets rejected on national TV. And then he says he met the love of his life and it's not right now. And that's okay. Fucking top tier answer.
Yeah. And he says you can't look down on someone for not wanting to marry someone they've only known for a matter of weeks. So fucking classy.
I love it. Like, he did not let his ego take over.
Yeah.
He's sad. We've seen all of it, right? He's calm. He's settled. Ollie's journey, much like Clay, has been my favorite one this season.
Yeah.
Because I fully thought he was a fuckboy.
Yep.
And he is a sweet, caring, emotionally careful man who has been masking his whole life.
Yeah.
And he masked the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And he just needed time to show his heart.
Yep.
I love this story. I really hope it goes on. And if it doesn't, I hope they remain friends because I love them both.
I completely agree. I think they both became better people. Yeah, I hope it continues. Now we're with Jasmine and Booby. I knew this was the order it was going to go. Like, as the weddings were happening, I was like, yeah. Like, I could predict it. Yeah, I could predict it before they said the names. I was like, so now it's going to be Jasmine and Bobby. Then it's going to be Benaya. And then it's going to be Freda. So Booby is certain, but marriage is the biggest commitment. And Jasmine is strong. Blase blah.
Blase blah. We love each other. Blase blah. We're nervous. Blase blah.
He's sensitive and vulnerable.
Lube, whatever. Okay. But Bobby is with his friends.
Mm-hmm, and his brother.
And they're talking about their cousins who passed. Danny and Kim. It's very precious.
Yeah, it really is. And then Jasmine's crew arrives and she said she felt calm until they all came in. And she's apparently had a conversation with Hurricane Marissa the day before and she planted seeds of doubt.
Go play hide and go fuck yourself, Mama Marissa.
Yeah, seriously.
Shut the fuck up.
Marissa tells Jasmine that she thinks Jasmine likes Booby more than she likes him. Gross.
Also, I don't know if people know this, and I do try and educate people.
Yeah, I know. This is an educational podcast.
It is my gift to share with everyone. You don't have to say every thought that comes into your head out loud.
You don't.
I have thought things about people's significant others.
I'm thinking something about you right now. I'm not saying it.
Yeah. You think I'm a cunt?
No.
Is that, what are you looking at?
There's a thing over there. I forgot that I had to look at later.
You forgot you have to look at it?
Yeah, I'm going to make myself a note to look at it later.
I want to do a supercut of every time you do that bit. I don't even know how to do that, but I want to do that.
This woman is bonkers, bananas, pants, crazy Looney Tunes lady.
Yeah, she is the human embodiment of no thanks.
No, thank you.
I hate this mother. I really do. She says that she's also worried about Bobby's job. Of course, finances have to be considered, but not by you, Mama Marissa.
Yeah, it's none of your business.
If she wants to marry a shoppy, that's up to her.
All that matters is that he loves her and respects her and treats her well. End of the day, that's it.
Yeah.
She's trying not to let her mom's shitty words get too much up in her head, but she has planted a lot of doubt.
She's always been dutiful to her mom.
Yes.
Okay? Like, a narcissist needs somebody who's compliant.
Yep.
And Jasmine has. She's always been like, yeah, mom, you know best. You know best. So then Bobby's sister Katie and mother Sandra come in. Daisy, where are the fucking fascinators? Aren't we supposed to wear fascinators? I've been looking forward to it all week. You're English. Why is no one wearing a hat? We all saw the royal wedding. They had these insane hats. Where are they?
Wasn't she wearing a fascinator?
No.
Oh, a couple people were wearing fascinators.
The only one wearing a fascinator so far is Demi's mom.
Yeah, he asks them how they're doing, and Mama Sandra starts going on and on about her own feelings. And then the sister interjects, we're happy for you. Booby says he's learned a lot about himself going through this experiment. He says he's grateful for her and everything she's done for him, blah, blah, blah. His mom is sort of unreadable. I couldn't get a handle on her.
Well, I know we don't have a lot of English people that listen to this, so I feel like I can say that. I have spent a lot of time with English people.
You can't read them.
Emotion isn't their thing.
No.
They're just not like over the top. There's like Germans, English, and then like me and you are like up here. They're just, they're not emotional.
No, they're not. He tells us that he's really close to his mom and he has been since he was a little kid. Where has she been this whole time? Like, we haven't seen her. We haven't met her. He's barely talked about her. He says he feels blessed about the way they've brought Jasmine into the family. Am I having a stroke? Did we miss a scene or something?
I don't know. Maybe they went on a holiday. I have no idea.
And she tells us that she can't wait for Jasmine to be me daughter-in-law.
And then Mama Sandra gives the advice that every mother needs to give to their child.
Get some Prosecco, damn you, and go smash it.
Words to live by. Everyone just get some Prosecco, chug it down their gob.
I said that to Monty on his way to sixth grade this morning.
Yeah.
Jasmine looks fucking gorgeous.
We have ragged on a lot of what Jasmine has worn this season.
Yeah.
I love the bridesmaids' dresses. They're this beautiful, sort of classic, beautiful champagne color.
Yeah.
She looks stunning. Mm-hmm. Her dress is impeccable.
Yeah.
And then Mama Marissa walks in. Well, she is wearing a fucking hat. I'll give her that much.
So Jasmine tells Mama Marissa that she looks great. And Mama Marissa says, I don't want you to overdo me. Never once does she say how Jasmine looks. Never once does she say nothing. Unless it's the edit, she doesn't say, you look beautiful. I love your dress. I'm so happy for you. Nothing.
She said, I don't want you to outdo me. Ma'am.
Yeah, girl, we know that.
I believe it was Charles Dickens that said, you are a twat.
Yeah, he did say that.
It was in the earlier publications.
Of Oliver, yeah, yeah. You are a twat, sir. Yeah, yeah.
I showed you what my mother-in-law wore on my wedding, right? Did I show you that picture?
Yeah. Booby cannot wait. Never before have we known that someone's going to say yes, as much as we know that Booby is going to say yes. And she says that falling in love with Booby makes her realize that she's never been in love before and words can't express how she feels about him. But again, Mama Marissa got in her head. So Marissa is walking Jasmine down the aisle. And this is where I wrote, unless it's the editing, Marissa hasn't once said Jasmine looks beautiful or that she loves her. She kind of mumbles that she's happy for her after Jasmine's like, okay, we're happy, we're happy, we're happy. She's like, yeah,
so
I'm
weird.
Happy.
There's someone in the hat in the audience. Thank you to that random person. Now we hear their vows or their words or their stories.
I just want to say that he is looking into her soul.
He is very sweet.
And she's sort of looking everywhere but at his face.
And here are his vows.
People say that love takes work, but loving you is the easiest thing that I've ever done. I fell in love with your soul, and I knew that I wanted to make you my wife because you're everything I've ever searched for in a woman. You're not afraid to speak your mind and stand by your values, but as fiery and as outspoken as you are, and you can be, you have the kindest, most gentle heart that I've ever come across. And I do believe in fate, and I'm certain that destiny has brought the two of us together. I promise to treat you like the queen that you are. I promise to love you, to protect you, and to stand in the storm and shelter you from any harm that ever comes your way. You deserve nothing short of extraordinary. And I'm committed to spending the rest of my life trying to make you the happiest woman in the world. You understand me, you accept me for who I am, and we just have that special kind of love, the kind of love that only comes around once in a lifetime.
I love that these vows are all short.
I know, thank you.
I feel like Netflix was like, you got a minute 10.
Wrap
okay?
It up.
Wrap it the fuck up.
When it becomes Jasmine's turn, I feel like Booby is starting to think that she's going to say no. Like, I feel like in his face, he's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
She is sobbing during his vows.
Yes.
Sobbing.
I wrote, come on, Jasmine, don't let your shitty mom sabotage you.
Oh my gosh. And then she gives her vows.
Bobby, I've always wanted to be married, but deep down, I almost convinced myself that it might not be for me. I look back at our time in the pods, and one feeling I could take from each conversation with you is a feeling of contentment and safety. I always thought I would never be the one to deserve a love like this, but you came into my life and made me believe that there is someone who can love me for who I truly am. Your ability to be vulnerable in the way we communicate with one another, openly, without getting into heated debates, has proved me that love shouldn't be combative. Your love is accepting, your love should be kind. And that's what I realized with you. Your commitment to self-growth and prioritizing us in terms of growing together as a unit has honestly made me fall deeper in love. I thank you for being the most amazing man I have ever met.
I love her flowers, by the way.
I do too, and I really, really hope this one works out.
I gotta say, from a production standpoint, the flowers and everything, yeah, even though they've been in the same room, have been beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Like, there are some times where they just, like, you know, they drape like a sheet somewhere, uh-huh, on the American version. Flowers are fucking expensive.
Yes,
unless
they are.
The pound sterling goes much further. I have no idea. The flowers are gorgeous. They're Mr. and Mrs. Johnson. Do these English people have any name? It's Smith? Johnson? What's next? Jones?
Yeah, pretty
like,
much.
Like, we have no unique names.
Well, the English invented boring names. Jasmine tells us basically that she respects her mom, but her mom can fuck right off.
But I gotta say, when they exit and walk, yeah, down the aisle as husband and wife, Bobby goes right up to Mama Marissa.
Bobby's a class fucking act, man.
And tells her that he loves her. Mm-hmm. It is very sweet.
Although she says it first, and I thought, like, he has to say it back. He can't not say
it. Oh, okay, I didn't notice. Yeah, but he went up to her, which I, yes, thought was really precious. And then Mama Marissa says to the camera, they look really happy together. Maybe she's starting the long process of unfucking herself. We don't know.
Maybe. And then Jasmine tells us that they'll be happy for the next 10 years. And Booby's like, what? And she's like, well, after menopause, it gets tricky and you'll have to support me through that. So yeah, we have about 10 years. Like, girl.
I am having such a hard time with Mama Marissa because I do believe she's probably a narcissist and she's like a control freak.
Yeah.
And I am only now that Lola is 15 learning that one of the hardest things about being a parent is letting go.
Yeah.
And knowing that they need to think for themselves. They need to make their own decisions, let them fail and get up and, mm-hmm, do it all over again. So I understand that part of it, but my lady, this woman is like 35 years old.
Jasmine? Jasmine's 29.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
29?
Yeah.
I meant she's a fucking adult and my kid is a teenager, Daisy.
Oh. I thought you were talking about how much time she has before she goes through menopause.
Oh, she's 29? That, I need to change that whole statement.
Now you understand why Mama Marissa is so overbearing.
No, I just meant like, I'm going through that right now with Lola being, yeah, 15 and, yeah, fighting for her independence. And Jasmine is a grown woman who makes bad fashion decisions.
Yeah.
Except for this day, she looks fucking stunning.
Yeah, she really does.
They make that really sweet speech to everyone, which I thought was, yes, really cute. I loved that they made the speech together.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just like the man doing it. Like, yeah, they made a joint speech. I thought that was sweet. However, they did then throw the bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that tradition. Number one, don't throw away your fucking bouquet.
Yeah.
You're next to get married. Like, I love tradition. I love silly traditions, but I'm gonna start a new tradition at my funeral.
Mm-hmm.
You are assigned to taking the fucking bouquet off my coffin and throwing it into the audience and being like, you're next, Carl.
You die next. I'm, yeah, into that.
Yeah. We'll see who's fucking next this time. Next to get married? No.
So now it's Nicole and Benghazi's turn. And she says she's still confused. Her heart is 2,000% yes, but her head is saying they still haven't worked things together. And then since you've been gone, it's like, I'm all over the place until I see her, basically. So Nicole and the United Colors of Benetton love each other's energy, but it took her a minute to realize that he was the one. And then we have to see fucking yucky Sam from London's face. And she says Sam represented her need for validation, but it wasn't real.
Yeah, blah, 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 emotions, blah, blah, blah,
bloom
big day, blah, 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 journey. We watch their montage.
His mom and sister can't be there because his grandpa's dying. Her father can't be there because he's at work.
Yeah, also, my nosy ass wants to know, what work projects do you have?
Could you not fucking postpone?
Except Ben, push comes to shove's sister and mother send a letter and, yeah, he's like all in tears. It was, yeah, very, very sweet.
Yes.
And unlike Tom's family, even though they're not there, they have given them their blessing.
Yes.
They're totally in on it. Yeah. I have follow-up questions.
Same. So Nicole's friends show up and they're like, oh my God, you look so happy. She's like, yeah, but you know, he keeps bringing up the D word and he says that the risk is higher because of how unusual the circumstances are and it freaks her out and she has abandonment issues. Who does?
Good for you for getting back on the horse.
Yeah.
I don't know why we needed horses in that analogy.
Yeah.
I'm not as big of a person as Adele. I don't want someone like you. Mm-hmm. I don't wish nothing but the best for you, but good luck with your projects. And I don't know, getting married again, good for you. I don't know. Maybe if I had a man like Benemy of the State, I would reconsider marriage too. But
yeah, Benedy Science Center tells his friends that he's really enjoyed living with Nicole. And one of them's like, yeah, because you have a home to live in.
He is nervous,
mm-hmm,
because Bentonol only slept an hour and a half last night. Mm-hmm.
He said they both sort of left it undecided and he doesn't know what they're going to say. He says he's always followed his heart. It's always been his compass. And I wrote, he's going to say yes.
I feel like he is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like Benguin's in.
He says he's wondering how he's operated without her this whole time. Going from single for 10 years and homeless to married to a whole person, that's a fuckload to adjust to.
Yeah. It's all a lot.
Yeah.
Nicole comes out.
Gorgeous.
Are they all wearing
the same dress?
The same dress with a varying theme, or is it just me?
Except for Kat. Yeah, no, it's all the same dress.
Was there a sale on delicate lace? I love delicate lace.
Yeah.
But they do all look like they're pretty much wearing the same dress, right?
Absolutely, 100%. She wants to say yes. She's ready to love him unconditionally, but she's worried that he'll throw in the towel when things get hard.
I mean, okay.
She comes in and Bennessy Williams is fucking gagged. Like, he's like, wow. And I start crying.
It is very sweet. I would like to say, again, no fucking hats. I will be writing a letter to the country of England and wonder what the fuck is going on. I'm confused.
Yeah.
I was expecting fascinators. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Also, the Benecratic National Convention is in tails.
Yeah.
And I think it's adorable, but who is his tailor? That jacket is 11 T sizes too big for him.
11 T.
It's adorable. I love that he has his hair pulled back.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Who tailored that suit?
I literally did not even notice his suit.
He is swimming in it.
Which is funny because he's a million D feet tall. He wakes up every morning with gratitude, whatever, positive energy, sweet, caring, kind, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I also want to say,
yes,
I loved their take on the flowers.
Her bouquet is gorgeous.
Her whole flower thing was like very much like a bird of paradise.
Yes.
Pinks and oranges with banana leaves.
Yeah.
It was so unique. I'm telling you, the overall production of the UK is so good.
He is an entire human being taller than her.
Yes.
He is like a 5-year-old taller than her.
Yeah, no, it really is true.
I wrote, I think she's going to say no.
Blase blah, marriage is forever. Blase blah, your bond. Blase blah. And then Bender does his vows.
I wake up every day, you know, with gratitude and appreciation that I found you in the most unconventional way. You immediately grabbed my attention with your positive energy, your sweet, kind, caring nature, and your infectious laugh. You accept me for who I am, flaws included, which shows me you have an unconditional love. We've been constantly challenged throughout, but rough seas make for good sailors. And in those moments of tough times, our relationship has blossomed. The moments when we can laugh and be silly together show me that I found the perfect person.
And he's off book.
Is he?
Oh, I love a memorized king.
Good for him. Good for him.
Benson's sensibility nailed it. And then we hear Nicole's vows.
When I came to this experiment, although I was hopeful to find someone, never in my wildest dreams did I imagine I would meet someone who literally spoke to my heart the way you did. From our first hello, I felt like you were my kindred spirit. You understand me and see me in ways that I've never quite felt seen before. And I feel with you, life could really be an adventure.
Life could be an adventure. I hope she means adventure like ziplining and not wondering where you're going to sleep at night. An adventure, blase blah, rest of your life, blase blah, love is blind, blase blah, foundation. They do.
Yay. They're so happy. Everything is the best. Whatever. They get to whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. Sarah in the chat says he's such a bentleman.
Very good. So the most perfect man who has ever graced the planet, the second coming of Jesus Christ himself, the reincarnation of Buddha, he's being a little cagey. He says something about what it will be like to see her in the dress and he might cry. But he is not saying, I found my person, I'm so in love, I can't wait. None of that.
Nope.
But she's ready to commit herself to Fred. Ah!
That's what she said. Really? Blase blah emotions, blase blah journey, blase blah leading up to this moment.
He leaves her a note, this time not on a morgue toe tag.
Yeah.
And And it's, I know you'll be nervous, but I'm with you and we're together. Together we can get through anything. Highly debatable. And then he gives her a pair of massive diamond earrings.
Are you kidding me? Then I wrote in my notes, wait, is he going to say yes?
He has to say yes after giving her those earrings. I would fall over in those earrings.
I was like, is this a consolation prize? Like, you don't get this dick, but here's some diamonds. Earrings. Here's some ice, since you're not going to get the spice. I don't know.
That's very good.
Diamond earrings?
Yeah.
Have we ever seen gifts like that? I feel like we've gotten, remember someone sent shots back or like.
That was
Shane?
No, it was the guy with the hair, Bert hair that we don't like.
Bartiz.
He sends the shots.
Diamond fucking earrings, huge. Y'all. We get their montage. And after the montage, Daisy, she says, I've never loved anyone like I've loved Freddie.
Really?
Your peak love is this? Then your other romances must have been an absolute fucking horror movie.
Yes.
Like, the next fucking Saw movie is going to be you and your exes.
If this is how you have treated the biggest love of your life, I'm horrified.
Yeah, and Erica says in the chat, and they matched her engagement ring. Yes. They were custom.
Oh, my God. He says that they have their differences, but he loves her. He's up and down. He says he's scared and happy. He says, I'm a pro at funerals, but not at weddings.
Yeah. Oh, he's so cute.
She says some bullshit about how they've been with each other through thick and thin and he's her future. Since you're so materialistic, here's some earrings instead of me, says Jade in the chat.
That's so true.
She tells us she's emotionally damaged because she was adopted and she has abandonment issues. Again, who doesn't have nobody wants to be abandoned.
You're so right. And I don't like speaking about experiences that I don't have firsthand knowledge of. But I would just like to point this out. I am not making an excuse because I am not adopted. But also, you were adopted by two strangers who loved you and raised you. Yeah. And we see them and they gave you a good life. I would imagine that if I were her parents, she has talked more about the adoption trauma than these wonderful people who got her at 11 weeks and became her mom and dad. I don't know. Somebody who has been adopted, please weigh in. I'm not saying ignore your trauma. I'm just saying, like, wouldn't that be hurtful?
I've had friends who were adopted and they were really fucked up from it.
Were they babies?
Yes. I have a friend who was adopted and she's in her 50s now. And she's like, I think they should outlaw it. She's like, you don't know what your health history is. You don't know what your mental health history is. You feel like a fucking alien. And I get it. You can't be like, yeah, but look at the bright side. But I think that Kat is such a basic bitch. And I think that her life has basically been a clear path. And she needs a thing to hold on to of like, look at my trauma.
We all have pain. We're all just fucking broken souls.
Yeah.
Riddled with trauma, anxiety, all this shit. We know our parents were just trying their best.
Yeah.
And she was a baby.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not discounting the journey of adoptees. Like,
right.
I feel like anybody listening knows my heart.
Yeah.
And I was an integral part of someone's adoption. So I do kind of understand the ins and outs of it. But like, you can't be like, I'm a cunt because I was adopted.
No. You can't be like, I'm a cunt for any. Like, okay, I get it. You have trauma. That's horrible. But you're not allowed to then turn around and be shitty to everybody else. Get therapy. You have nationalized healthcare in England. Get fucking therapy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot. Unless there's a producer being like, talk about being adopted again.
Yeah, possible. She tells her friends that Freda was carved by God. And her shitty little fucking scrunchy face twat friend is like, okay, come on. She never says anything nice about him.
And Kat says she's hoping Freda says yes. And the girl's like, well, he bought you these earrings.
Obviously.
He's obviously in it to win it. I mean, diamonds are forever, right?
Mm-hmm, they are.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned that from James Bond. So Betsy Dora, the explorer, says she's happy, but she's anxious. This is where I wrote, I don't think he's going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he tells his sister without this experiment, he wouldn't have met Kat. And essentially, we've got each other in our lives for the rest of our lives. He's, again, very cagey, not saying really lovey-dovey things at all.
And then Betsy Dora expresses her concern and she says,
I want to tell you something and I don't really want it to influence anything or change your mind or anything like that. I just want you to take it on board and me as your sister, I just want to tell you. I do worry that you are on different pages. She's a lovely girl. I don't know, she's just different to you.
different pages. These two are in two different books in competing libraries.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's different from you because you're a fucking earth angel and she's Catherine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on different pages.
He says they get on really well. No, they don't.
I get on really well with my handyman. Okay.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He's very nice and we're not getting married anytime soon.
Exactly. He says they have a strong connection and they can grow together. I hate her dress.
Oh, I like it.
Maybe it's because I hate her, but I hate her fucking dress.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like the tulle, whatever that is.
Oh, I love the tulle. But you're talking to someone who wears tutus for a living in public, unironically.
Yeah, yeah. He says he's confident in his decision, but he hopes his emotions don't get the better of him. I think he's going to say no.
I agree. She's putting on the earrings, which are silver, and she's wearing all gold. Bad sign.
Oh. Everything else up until now has been smooth sailing for the two of them. Everything's been a green flag for the two of them.
So there,
but the earrings
there it
are
is.
The thing.
Yeah.
So Jack is walking Freddie down the aisle.
And Freddie, he looks disgusting. Freddie looks disgusting.
Oh,
he is
ugly.
So, honestly, like, I wish they blurred him out.
I know. And that suit, like, his body is... Please stop showing him on camera. Like, we don't need to keep seeing him.
Yeah, like, zoom in on the pastor.
Yeah,
something.
Please, disgusting. Freddie.
Disgusting.
Enough. Get a face job.
Yeah,
get a whole face job.
Get a face job. Wait, Daisy, he's standing there with his brother Jack, and his brother Jack puts his head on his shoulder and just says,
Freddie. I know.
I watched the last 15 minutes of Steel Magnolias in 2.5 seconds.
Oh. I know. Fred is like, you're very smart, aren't you? You're very smart. And he just goes, Fred, it's so fucking sweet.
I am a fucking rat.
Yeah.
When he looks, the way he
I know. I know, me too. My nipples are at attention.
Ugh.
Kat is ready because she has her garter on. Kat is ready to get married because she has her garter on.
Blase blah promises. Blase blah unconventional journey.
Also, can we just talk about the fact that Kat looks like she's fully in her 40s? Which, no shade, so am I, but she's 20-something?
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Not
it's
good.
Her makeup.
Yes.
And Catherine goes first.
Yeah.
Freddie. From the moment I heard your voice, I knew this was going to be special. Words will never describe how lucky I am. And someone was definitely looking over me that day I walked into the pods. From this moment onwards, I'm never letting go. And I cannot wait to start my life with you and hold your hand every step of the way. I love you, Freddie, and thank you for being you, because that's why we're here today.
Then it's Freddie's turn.
Yeah.
Catherine, my love for you was formed without seeing you. We connected through our inner qualities, personalities, and the way we made each other feel. It's a testament to you and the power of our emotional and intellectual connection that we share. Appearances can sometimes be misleading, and forming a love blind allowed me to truly appreciate the essence of you. It allowed me to focus on your words, thoughts, actions, and it allowed us to create a deep bond that goes beyond superficialities. We've shared our most inner thoughts, feelings and dreams. We've had conversations that I've never had with anyone else. I believe in fate and I believe that we were destined to be stood here in this very moment.
Kat looks like she is shitting her thong at this point.
So it's time. Does Catherine, Daisy?
She says I do with about as much enthusiasm and happiness as a funeral director saying it's time to do the funeral. She's like, I do.
Does Freddie, Daisy?
He doesn't. He starts with I love you, which can only mean one thing.
Well, let's play it.
I love you, Kat. But at the time, it might not be right for us. This isn't a goodbye, it's not a rejection of the love that we share. Part of me wanted to say yes and embark on this journey with you. But as I look into your eyes, I know that I'm faced with a truth that we both have to acknowledge. That there's still mountains left for us to climb and lessons for us to learn before fully embracing a lifelong commitment. And I do love you, Kat. But I just need to be honest to both of us.
Come on.
And the reason that Freddie says no and what encapsulates this entire experience and will forever be the nail in the coffin is Freddie goes to hug her and she says, Don't hug me.
Fuck this lady.
There it is.
Freddie's mom is hysterical crying. He's out in the lobby fucking crying.
Hold on.
Okay.
Daisy.
Okay, first of all,
I don't know how he pulled that off. That was some Al Pacino shit because I wanted him to say no, but I actually couldn't tell. Number one. Number two, before he runs outside, the subtitles say Catherine sobbing.
No.
She was not crying.
No.
Do you know who was sobbing?
Freddie. Yeah. Because he's an angel.
And his friends run to him, his friend Jamie. All of his friends gather around him. You are actually a reflection of the people around you. So you can tell that he's very loved.
Mm-hmm. And then Kat comes stomping out past him.
In her Herman Munster shoes.
Yeah, yes.
She is like, boom, go. Storms right in front of him.
One of his friends mutters, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Freddie is a mess.
He really is.
He is sobbing. And then Papa John is like, hey, doll, I made these pizzas for you. I've got a very good pizza chain.
I want
Papa
to be
John's.
Alone. Can I be alone?
Yeah.
Go away. I want to be alone. She tells us she feels numb and really unwanted. And maybe she should have made him feel wanted in the entire time that they were together. And she wouldn't be where she is right now. And Freda tells Betsy, Dora the Explorer, that he didn't want it to be that way. And she's like, your words were beautiful. Everybody's like, you were true to yourself. You were honest. That was really brave.
Yeah. And Catherine is in a room upstairs and she's not crying until her friend comes in. And then she starts crying and she very dramatically takes off the diamond earrings. And she was like, I really thought he was going to say yes.
Kat tells her friend she's so embarrassed. Her friend says no one thought it was going to happen like that. And she says she feels stupid. And then Freda comes in and talks to her parents.
Which was so
classy.
He's so accountable and he makes it so clear. He hugged them both. Also bringing back the whole funeral director thing into the conversation. He understands how to deal with people who are grieving. I think he's fucking in his element right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a stand-up guy, and he is so respectful.
Yeah.
I don't think Fede should be with anyone ever again. I think he needs to be studied for science. I think he should donate himself.
He could donate himself to
Despacito.
He's hoping that they can still live together and make it work. And she is never going to. She will never, ever, 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 ever agree to that. First of all, probably deep down in her heart, she's happy that it didn't work out. And second of all, that would be too humiliating. She is humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
And her friend is like, he still loves you. And Kat's like, he's not in love with me. He loves me, but he's not in love with me. And I wrote, yeah, because you've made yourself fucking impossible to love.
And also, she's a brat. He loves me. He's not in love with me. I want to go to the goose now. Like, shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, she says she feels stupid.
You're going to feel stupid when this airs and you see what a cunt you've been to an actual Adonis.
Yep.
And it's not about his looks. I do want to make that clear. Like, he is peak perfection of a human being, but he is salt of the fucking earth.
He really is.
People that good looking shouldn't be that genuine and dear.
No, and they certainly shouldn't have a dick that big. Freda comes in to check on Kat because he is God's fucking gift to humanity. He's so gentle and considerate. He like makes sure he doesn't sit on her dress. No other straight man would ever, it wouldn't occur to them to not sit on their partner's dress. And he says, I'm sorry, you understand my reasonings, don't you?
And you know what else he does that was so astute? He reassures her, not only does he love her, everybody here loves you. You're so loved.
Yeah. Your family loves you, your friends. He says you have so much love around you.
Fuck this guy. Fuck this guy. Fuck you.
She says, I don't know how to pick myself up. I was ready to commit to you and I feel blank.
Shut the fuck up. Both of you. Freddie, you were made in a factory somewhere. Kat, you're an asshole. I hate Freddie now. He's just too perfect. Who the fuck are you?
And he's like, we'll get through this together. And she goes, it's all right. I've gone through shit in my life. Fuck off.
Oh, good. You know what? Everyone else's life has been perfect,
yeah.
Catherine.
Yeah.
You're right. Oh, you went through shit? Okay.
Oh, you remember that Freddy's dad is fucking dead? Do you remember that part? You fucking twat.
Yeah. And he has vowed to take care of his brother who has Down syndrome. Shut the fuck up.
I'm renaming this show Shut the Fuck Up, Catherine.
I'm fine with it. Do we have to check with Amber and Amanda or no? Okay, great. Yeah, we make the fucking rules, bitches.
So now we're getting a sort of check-in with all of the couples again. We're back with Tom. He said it was harder to say no than he ever thought it would be and that their conflicting values kept coming up. And then Marie is sad but grateful. And she said, if it hadn't been for the difference in values, I'm like, girl, that's like saying, you know, if it hadn't been for the fact that he likes Indian food and I don't, like, your values are the sort of the most important fucking pillar.
It's just funny because all of the like non-married couples do this exit and they're getting in their cars.
Yeah.
And the director's like, right, I want you to go to your car, then take a really pensive look at the building and you're saying goodbye to your couple life. And I want you to really think about it and give me an around the world with your eyes. Then I want you to get in the car. Shut up.
Yeah, we don't care. Nobody cares.
Honestly, he gives me small dick energy. I'm not
kidding. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He gives me little weenus and like oral for a minute and a half. Is that good?
I can't believe he would want Tosh over her.
That good? That good? No, fucking stay down there for an hour and a half. I'll tell you when I'm done.
Yeah, yeah.
On the labia.
He's just sort of sucking on the labia. Is that good? Do you like that?
Hey, I love that dry humping. You know that's my thigh, right? Okay, just so we're on the same page.
Oh my God. Ollie had an amazing experience and he's learned a lot that led him to an amazing person.
He is such a little munchie.
He really is.
I love him.
And Demi is grateful and she thinks they do have a future together.
Yeah.
And Kat is still feeling fucking sorry for herself. She's like, he says he wants to be with me, but actions speak louder than words right now. Well, your actions this whole time have been garbage.
Everything you said, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted by your presence. I did like your dress, but you definitely exhaust me. I can't believe you didn't like it. I really liked it.
Freda is sad. He says he really didn't make the decision until the very last minute, and he hopes that someday they can get married. No, Freddie, no. I know you're trying to be nice. I know you're trying to come off as No.
Please make it end. Make it stop.
Make it stop for everybody's fucking sake.
We go through all the celebrations of all the married couples. You know, okay, great. I can't decide whether I don't give a shit or I don't give a fuck. I want to make sure I say the right thing, but one of the two.
I don't give a shuck.
What was that meme you sent me, Katie?
Oh, she said, one sec. Yeah, Ashlyn says, but she was adopted and she has trauma. She's the only one to ever have trauma. She's allowed to be miserable. Duh.
But I was adopted.
I was adopted. I've been through shit in my life. I'm a ballerina who lives with my parents.
Yeah, you say you're a piece of fuck. Yeah, that was it. Just confuse the people. Well, we're going to be back. This is not the end of the road. We're going to see how all the couples are, how they are faring, what is happening. Let's make our predictions.
I think Sabrina and what's his face are great.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the three married couples are solid.
Yeah. Same. Kat and Fredette, they better be on opposite sides of that fucking studio or I'm gonna storm it.
Yeah. I will go back in fucking time.
Yeah. Ollie and Demi, I hope they're trying to make it work. They're so sweet together.
I really hope so too.
I hope Maria and Tom are nowhere near each other.
No. I think we're same page.
I hope to God they don't make us have to fucking look at Sam.
Ooh, I wonder if he'll be there.
Yeah. I feel like they've been bringing back the villains.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned to that last episode. And don't forget, if you want to see me and Toby Award-winning Daisy Egan on tour, we are going to be in Raleigh October 6th and Indianapolis October 15th and Atlanta October 18th and Philly October 27th. Go to Grab Bag Clink Clink. Click our link tree. Come and see us live. The show is going to be amazing. We don't know what it is yet, but it's going to fucking be lit. Okay? And if anything goes wrong, we're going to show you our titties. That is a promise.
Ellen, please, what? For the love of Christ.
What?
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, can I just say something since this is the last episode of the UK?
No, we have a reunion.
I know, but this is the last episode, so I just want to say something. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, that was good.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.